Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
If a person is trying to get pregnant and there are no medical reasons, do you believe that faith is an issue? Or would you believe that maybe God doesn't want to bless you with any children? How do you decide as to what is God's will in this issue? Obviously, it's not God's will for you to have a child so far, or He would have given you one. Yes, I certainly believe that faith is an issue. It is certainly possible that God does not want to bless you with children in any way, by medical intervention or by adoption. That's possible. But obviously, how would I know what God wants to do with your life in that case? How do you decide as to what is God's will in this issue? I mentioned earlier the book that I've written on how we discern God's will, and it applies in any issue. So you might find that book helpful, God's Guidance. Waiting is very, very important. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 7. Study that. Live in it. Read it over and over again. Psalm 37, 1 to 7. How do you feel about doctors and trying to get pregnant as opposed to faith in God and waiting on Him? That's the second question. I think it's the same handwriting, but I don't have any other answer. What do you think? Number one, is America headed for revival? I don't know. Number two, is America going to become a second-rate power? I don't know that either. What is your favorite verse, passage, etc.? Why? Oh, this person says verses, so I could give you many that are favorite verses. John 12, 24 is one of my favorites. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Looks to me as though one person has written me about 15 questions here. Elizabeth, do you cry? Very seldom. And I think that in some ways it's a handicap. I can't turn on tears. I think tears are a powerful weapon against your husband. And I never been able to make much use of that. I don't mean that to be nasty. I mean, I am often thought to be made of concrete because I don't appear to be the kind that would cry. Coming from an abused background, now a Christian almost 2 years, have a boyfriend of 1 month, how do you submit to your boyfriend? Do not submit to your boyfriend. God says submit to your husband and make sure you don't make a husband out of that boyfriend if he is not obviously a godly man. If you are a Christian, you are not to marry or even to think about marrying, and I would say not even to think about dating a non-Christian man. What if you have so many mundane, ordinary chores and can't spend as much time working for the Lord? I'm so glad for this question. I thought that I had tried to make it as clear as I can. When Jesus was working in the carpenter's shop, He was working for His Father. When you're working in the kitchen, you are working for the Lord. There is no higher job than washing diapers for Jesus if God has given you a baby who wears diapers. There is no higher, holier calling than to be a mother of children that God has given you. There is no higher or holier calling than peeling onions and washing dishes if that is the thing that God has called you to do at that moment. And as I said, I don't think God is more impressed with my sitting at the computer to write a book or standing in front of an audience than He is with the way I do my housework. I do go to the grocery store. I do clean bathrooms. I do iron. I do cook. All of those things are part of the sphere in which God has put me. So Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, and that may be a newborn baby, you have done it for me. If you can see that, as I tried to show my granddaughter Elizabeth, if you feed the bottle to this baby, you are feeding the bottle to Jesus. Because that's what Jesus said. If one could be in danger if admitting to be a Christian, should one nevertheless speak the truth and not deny Jesus? emphatically, yes. Daniel did not change one thing in his daily program of prayer and worship when he was forbidden to pray and to worship. He was in danger, and he went into the lion's den. God delivered him, but he's not necessarily going to deliver you. John the Baptist was put in prison because he had spoken out for Jesus, for God, and was put there because of that word. He got his head chopped off. What's the difference how you die? So what if you die? We're all going to die anyway. Wouldn't you rather die in the will of God than out of the will of God? I feel very drawn to a pastor who is single at my church, and sometimes I even have passionate thoughts. He is a godly man. How do I deal with this struggle? Sometimes I dream of being a pastor's wife, even. Can this be a calling? Obviously, being a pastor's wife can be a calling for those to whom God gives a pastor for a husband. If you want to know how to deal with that struggle, give it to Jesus. And by that, let me tell you just a very simple method, which I think is applicable in many ways. Any emotions that we know are like a powder keg, in other words, can be explosive and dangerous, any emotion that we can't deal with, fear, hatred, jealousy, anger, or sexual passion, get down on your knees, physically, someplace where you can be alone. Put that thing in your hands, as it were. Just say, Lord, you know that I cannot control this. I can't control my dreams. I can't control my thoughts about this pastor. But Lord, I surrender them to you. And in the name of Jesus, I relinquish them. I renounce them. And let God have it. Just every time it comes up, give it back to him. If it comes again, if Satan comes up and says, oh, you big fake, you know, you were a hypocrite. It didn't really work. He didn't hear your prayer. What was all that Elizabeth Elliot was giving you? Just ignore what Satan says. God did hear the prayer. God will help you. But do not put yourself in a position of temptation with that man. Whatever you do, don't by so much as the flicker of an eyelash. Let that man know what you're thinking about him. God knows how to bring the husband to the wife. He did not take Adam to Eve. He brought Eve to Adam. God will give you to his man in his time if he wants you to be married. But it is not up to us women to be the initiators. If you want to know what I say about that, read Let Me Be a Woman and The Mark of a Man. I'm in the midst of the biggest trial I've ever had. I frequently feel so alone and fearful of the future for myself and my children. In my head, I know God is good and in control, but my heart struggles with trusting him. Do you have any advice or encouragement? Keep trusting. Usually, what we're talking about when we say I'm having a hard time trusting him is the thoughts and the fears that so powerfully can dominate our thinking. And I've already told you what I think you can do with those thoughts and those fears. And you just have to saturate yourself with this word. Go back to the promises. I think it's about 1,000 times that God says, fear not, in this book. Deuteronomy 31:8, Isaiah 41:10. There are dozens of them, hundreds. I would be interested in your thoughts on the following belief that is popular in some Christian circles, that we should let God plan our families and not use any form of birth control. I would so appreciate your answer. That's a serious question and a very sensible question nowadays because we're being given an awful lot of information and data which is not necessarily in alignment with what God says. I want to say this much. I'm not going to tell you that any form of birth control is wrong. I think there's a very important difference between the mechanical and chemical and surgical methods of birth control and natural family planning. Mechanical, surgical, and chemical. They're over here, and these are ways in which you are saying, absolutely not, I will not conceive another child. Natural family planning is a mechanism that God has built into our reproductive system, which has only been discovered in relatively recent history. And it has been perfected far better in the last 20 or 30 years. The great difference to me between those two is that you are being a minister rather than an arbiter. Now, I haven't got time to go into all that, but think about it. You are arbitrating when you're saying, two kids, case closed, don't even talk to me about it anymore. And we're going to get vasectomies and tubal ligations and all the rest of it, or use drastic forms of chemical and medical control. On the other hand, natural family planning, you could say, yeah, but it's taken a huge risk. Are you willing to trust God? That is an important difference. And another thing that's very important about natural family planning is that it requires the agreement and cooperation of husband and wife. The others don't. And it requires self-sacrifice, waiting. There are some wonderful testimonies of the ways in which God has brought married couples closer together by abstinence. Now, you know, I spent 11 years with jungle Indians. They practiced abstinence for a whole year after a baby was born. And they couldn't even imagine what the big deal was. In fact, one of the Indian women said to me, "What's the matter with you Americans? Do you not think about anything but sex?" Now, I know that this is true because I lived in the bedroom with a married couple for a whole year. And he slept on the floor, and she slept in the bed with the baby. And it was no big deal. I mean, it was just taken for granted. Here's a real easy question. Are you still in love with Jim Elliot? Now, you can relax because Lars is used to hearing about Jim Elliot and Ad Leach. I love my husband. I can't imagine stopping loving Jim and Ad, but they've been gone for a long time, and I live with Lars, and so I love him. I would not say I'm in love in the romantic sense, and I think any married couple would say that there's a great metamorphosis that takes place in the kind of love that we have for a husband after we marry. I think I should stop now, don't you, since our time is up, even though I haven't gotten through this pile of questions. But thank you so much for coming, and may the Lord bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.